do have a lot to be thankful for, and I thank Art for that song. Is all right. Is thy heart right with God? Because we want to make sure that our heart is right. Because if it's not right, we're actually deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're going to come out right. And Les, thank you for sharing on forgiveness. My mind went to a verse that you were talking about the tongue. And my mind went to Matthew 12. There's two verses, 36 and 37. Well, let me go up a little bit. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That has hit me so many times, because I work with people in business, and when people say something and they don't do it, or they don't, like they say, oh, the check's in the mail, or I'll be there next week, or whatever, and it never happens, I think of this word, these verses, because we're going to be justified. And the tongue is very, it's a small member, but it can do a lot of damage. But it can also be a good blessing. Depends on how we use it. I was, this past week, I was listening to Ben Carson. I'm not sure if you know Ben Carson. I don't know him personally, but he shared something that looks like a wow. He said that in this country, there was pillars that built this country. And he mentioned, I'll mention some of them to you. One of them is faith. Faith has helped build this country. And freedom has built this country. People have come from all over the world to find freedom. And the other thing is family. Family has built this country. And community has built this country. And this past week, I had three older people in my shop. And they got to talking, and I was listening. And one of them made the comment, they said, I think we're so far gone, there's a point of no return. And I stopped right there and I said, look, I believe in God. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? And I said, I really feel the devil is trying to plant seeds of doubt in everyone's mind that he has the upper end, where he's going to come out, he's going to make it, he's going to, you know, come out on top. But to my understanding, God is on the throne, and he has no plans on getting off. And so I rejoice today that I serve a living God, a God that knows everything that's happening around us, and I am happy to know that he's going to take care of us. It might not be the way we would like, because the Bible says that, you know, Jesus said, the world hated him, and the world's going to hate us. And I feel that there's a lot of pressure against God's people right now. You know, whether it's family or whether it's, you know, the way we believe or whatever. And we can't give up, because God's going to win. And I am thankful. When we were done with that conversation, the three older people were there, and they acknowledged, that's right. God is overall. God is in control, and we need to trust them. We need to trust God. We can't trust ourselves, because God can. He's just above the devil, beyond what we can comprehend, and the devil would like to make it look like he's doing a pretty good job, but he's not. I was trying to think what I was going to share today, and I'd like to say I want to bless the mothers here today. God is good. I'm very thankful for a godly mother that I had. And I was going to say that those of you that have your mothers, make sure you thank them. Make sure you express your appreciation, because when they're gone, like my mother has passed and my wife's mother has passed, we can't talk to them anymore here. And yet they were a major influence on our lives. And the thing that stood out to me was, you know, without mothers, the children, I think Gerald mentioned about the things that they do, and I thought, yeah, they're cooks, they're teachers, they tell stories or read stories. Thank you, Henry, I appreciate that. I'm going to take that now. And it was mentioned they're counselors, and they're detailed. I like that one. They do the laundry. The one I didn't hear, though, was they're excellent nurses. They usually can patch up some, you know, skin marks and cuts and bruises, and they do a good job with that as well. It seems like they have that's their gift. And it made me think about, someone made the comment about putting a value to what mothers do. You know, when you think of all the things that they come up to the plate with, per se, and I didn't do the math, but someone said they're worth it, probably, you know, with what all they do, they're probably $200,000 salary deal, something like that. It's more than I make. But, you know, I believe that that's correct. With everything that a mother does, their value is high. It's very high. So, anyway, let's all stand. I'm going to have a word of prayer before we get started. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you again this morning to thank you for the many blessings you have showered upon us. We thank you for this land of freedom that we so often take for granted. We thank you for this privilege we have of gathering in this way without the fear of men. Now we pray, Father, that you might bless this service. I pray that you might bless this message as your word is brought forth, that it would penetrate into the hearts and minds of each one of us here, and that we would be open and honest before you and ourselves so we can apply these truths to our lives. We pray that you might receive the honor and the glory for everything that is done this morning. We ask that you might help us to understand more fully your will for our lives, and help us to be able to reflect you in a way that the world can see you more clearly. We pray that your spirit would just fill me now and help me to share truth. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Art, did he disappear again? I forgot to tell him this. I wanted to sing a song. It was in the Christian hymnal. Christian hymnal. I want 138. I want to put something on the board here, and I thought you could sing that song while I do that. So 138 in the Christian hymnal. You got that, Art? 138 Christian hymnal, and thank you for coming back. By the way, Art is a very busy man. 138. Give me the Bible. Amen.
Oh,
Let's everybody turn to Proverbs 31. And this, actually, what I'm hoping to do this morning is have two topics somewhat, but they are kind of intertwined. So we'd like to read Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open the mouth, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders in the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This portion, I've been reading this since I was in my teens. Because when I was looking for a life partner, this was what I was patterning after, and I am blessed to say that I have found her. But what I'm driving at here, the thing that stood out to me is, if you notice the first word, it says, his mother taught him. This was advice from his mother. And to me, that's the impact that a mother can have on their child. It's very important. And she had these characteristics that are like, wow. It says in verse 10, who can find a verse 1, her price is far above rubies. You can't put a value to her because it's above and beyond what you can imagine. And in 11, it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I'm going to twist something here, and I'm going to be very open with you from the standpoint that I think there's people here that know that it's really good to find the right partner. But in the last couple of weeks or months here, I share with my wife this thought, because there are people who don't know how to keep their partner. In other words, it's one thing to find the partner, but it's another thing to keep that partner. And the thing that stands out to me is her husband trusts in her. But the question is, does the wife trust him? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a personal story. I ran past my wife last night, and she doesn't remember anything about it. But and that was, soon after we were married, I remember my wife approached me on something, and she said, well, I heard this and this of something I did, I even forget all the details. I'm glad I did. But it burnt my hard drive from the standpoint, it was a very shaky moment for me. Because my wife was accusing me of not speaking the truth. I think that's how it was. She heard it through somebody. And I'm not going to go down that bunny trail. But I told her, no, that's not the case. And I left it go, and I prayed about it. And a week or two went by, and something happened that she realized, I was honest, I was true. And you know what? That bonded us in a deeper connection that we didn't have before. Even though it was a valley that we went through, but it goes back to the fact I was being honest, I was being truthful, and my wonderful wife could now trust me more. Because the devil, remember this, the devil likes to destroy what God wants to put together in every way. He likes to, first of all, put seeds of doubt in our minds that God doesn't mean what he says, God doesn't know what he's doing, and after he puts seeds of doubt, then he deceives us into thinking that what you heard was true, and after that, because then you get discouraged, and then you get depressed for the purpose of destroying this relationship. Now, I'm coming back to the husband. The husband is very critical because both the husband and the wife need to have God first. Otherwise, it's not going to work. I think, anyway, I shared with all of our children that got married that after they were married, we did our crying in the back there with them. From the standpoint of rejoicing that they're married, but it was kind of a mix for parents to let your children go a little bit. But I told my children and their partners, the most important thing in life is to keep God first in their life. And then I say, keep dating. And the reason why we say that is because when you're dating, you're out to please the other. And you want to maintain that relationship. And to maintain that relationship, you need to be honest and humble and just be real. And I'm going to read some words here that will describe this chapter, describe this virtuous woman. And I want you to think about this as I read the characteristics of this virtuous woman. She is morally perfect, invaluable, trustworthy, inherently good and true, ingenious, proficient, thrifty, laborious, dutiful, considerate, versatile, judicious, tireless, healthy, joyful, efficient, watchful, cautious, thrifty, skillful, charitable, benevolent, generous, merciful, fearless, clever at decorating, I've written down here, refined in taste, respected, is popular, industrious, prosperous, dependable, honest, confident, hopeful, wise, discreet, kind, understanding, prudent, practical, energetic, ever active, an ideal wife and mother, honored by her family, excels in virtue. She's God-fearing, humble, deserving. She's successful. She's honored by the public. That's a long list, but that is what's in this chapter. And the world would love to have that, but the only way this is going to work, it comes back to God. Their place where God is in their life. The acronym, I dug this out of my archives because many years ago I had a mother's message and I knew it was around there somewhere. And anyway, I did my due diligence and dug this up. A mother is modest. And when I say modest, I've written down here beside modest, they're humble. They're not proud. They're not bold people. They're humble, but they're modest. And they're optimistic. They're positive. I mean, it would tear me apart if my wife would always be negative. It would tear me down. But they're positive. They say, you know, God knows this. We can do this. God has a way for us. And they're optimistic. A mother is tender. It was brought out here that, you know, children were saying the things that their mother had done. They're gentle. They have sympathy. H, they're helpful. In other words, whether it's patching a wound on a knee or helping with schoolwork, they're just always there. They're helpful. And E, I have the word exquisite. And exquisite means special, one of a kind. And that's how I feel my wife is. She is special. She's one of a kind. And that's how it should be. And last but not least, they're real. They're stable. They're sound. They're honest. And that is a virtuous woman. And these virtuous women have a major impact and influence on every one of us. I was hoping just to give a little time here. If there's something that made your mother special to you, I'd like to hear from you. I'm going to tell you, you've heard this before from me, but my mother loved to sing. She was always singing when we were going down the road. She would sing a song, and her favorite song was Trust and Obey. And that has been put into my mind to the point that whenever we get together as a Slaymaker family, that's our number one song because of Mother. She sang Trust and Obey. There's no other way. So what made your mother special? I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I want to spend a little time here. And if I don't, I might just call in names if you're not careful. Amen. I love that. I thought about that, and they were sharing what does my mother, and I thought of prayer. That is so true.
Always had a song in her heart.
joy of the Lord was in her. Amen.
As growing up, especially, I took a lot of effort to bend my will, and my mom never gave up on that. Although I'm sure it would have been easy to do, she was willing to continue to be consistent and keep working on that.
She persevered. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good trait.
In my mom, I have always seen she's a woman of faith. I saw growing up many times things that seem impossible were impossible to her faith. Many times my dad, but we lived in a place where there was probably some people that were not the best around us. My dad was like, well, we need to lock the car real good. And he's locking this car real good that he leaves the keys inside. And we're over here trying to, looking at all the doors and then, yeah, sure, they're locked real good. And then there was times when my mom would say something like, no, in Jesus' name, this car will open. In Jesus' name, this car will open. And she would be going around the car, in Jesus' name, this car will open. And she'll be grabbing those doors and trying to, in Jesus' name. And there was many times when I saw the door opens up and yeah, just like that. There was no way it was open, but it was. Because she said, no, there's no way, in Jesus' name. So she opened my eyes to something beyond. I could see there is a God. Okay, this thing of God is not just a fairy tale, it's not just a story. Amen. This is something real. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And I saw it in her life. And that was something amazing for me.
And that is something you need to hold on to and grab.
That's right.
God bless your mother. Anyone else? Ed?
My mother was our stabilizer in our family. My father had some health issues when he was young, and with it came some challenges. And I think of my mother's steady faithfulness to my father and to us children. It's invaluable, and I appreciate it.
When you have a stable mother, it strengthens the family. It does. She listens. Amen. When we left our previous church, I'm going to be very forthright here, and that is, I did not realize that I was worshiping a church. Instead of Jesus Christ. And God had to take me through a valley to wake me up to that. And I am thankful that Jesus helped me see my failure. And in that process, I was trying to find my way. And one of the first lessons of love is listen. If you want to help your children, you need to give time to listen. And I know my children love their mother, and so do I.
Yeah, my memories of my mother, she died when I was five, but she read stories to us and taught us about God. And she'd be dead yet speaking through life, and it came to the place where when I cried out to God, I said, I want to go to heaven where my mother is. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. And he showed me how. But it was my mother's influence that made me want to seek the right way.
Amen. She's dead yet speaketh. That's really good.
For supporting Dad. She was there's an instance especially that sticks out to me that she supported Dad, and it was in a way that, you know, it still sticks with me today.
Mm-hmm.
Of something that he didn't like or whatever, and she just got rid of it, and I never saw it again. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just those kind of things are impressionable.
Right.
And also she's very helpful. I told her just recently that she had the verse that talks about the woman that did something in the Bible, I can't remember what it was anymore, but it says that she has done what she could.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's true about mom. She's yeah. helpful and she does what she can.
Yeah, thank you. I miss Abner, and I know Anna does too. But I remember Abner saying that Anna was his silent thunder, and I have never forgotten that. Because Anna, you have helped Abner in so many ways. God bless you for that. Anyone else?
Haven't you required us to respect him? And that was always something that was good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also definitely a praying person that prayed a lot for us.
Amen. I would like to echo that, you know, several times it's mentioned about a praying mother. And I know I had a praying mother and I had a praying grandmother. I don't think I'd be where I'm at if it were for that. Because we were pretty bad and pretty wild in our younger days. And I'm just so thankful that God saved a sinner saved by grace. All right, I want to go into the second portion of my message, and it goes like this. The question is, what is your influence? What is your influence? In other words, you know, our mothers here have made an imprint on our lives. But the fact is that every one of us are influencing someone. And it doesn't, and, you know, and we're influencing them either for good or for bad. And the thing that I realize is that it doesn't matter if you're a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, single, married, or a widow. We're all influencing someone. And so, I have written down here, the influence is the capacity or the power of a person, things to be a compelling force to produce actions, behavior, or opinions, etc., of others. So we're going to have effect and we're going to have sway over someone who we connect with. And so every one of us is influencing someone. And in Matthew, I'd like to read a couple verses in Matthew. Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And just a couple verses here. And that is beginning at 13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're here to be a light and a salt to the world. And like in regards to, you know, the three older people that were in my shop, I couldn't just let them go down this trail of, oh, you know, doom and gloom kind of thing. Because I had to help them realize God is still on the throne. God is still here. The question is, are you going to trust him? You're going to believe in him? You're going to... So we have to be that light. We have to be that salt. And I often think one of my favorite portions of scripture is Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor sitteth in the seat of the storm. No. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly. Walketh in the counsel of the godly, or standeth in the way of the sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. And the truth is where we keep our saltiness, by staying close to the truth. And by staying close to the truth, it also gives us that light, that life, that can be a reflection of God's kingdom so the world can see us, see God. There's in 1 Corinthians 15:33, the verse there is, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." And does anybody remember, this was
back a while. I put it on, I sent this out. The person you will be in 5 years depends largely, the books you read, the food you eat, the people you spend time with, the habits you adopt, and the conversations you engage in. So we need to make choices that are going to come out right. And if we make those choices of coming out right, we're going to be a proper influence to everyone we meet. And the question I have is, what is your influence? And I would like to read a portion of scripture here in Philippians. I'm not getting all my scripture that I want to get. There was some scripture in the Old Testament in regards to honoring your parents and so on. But anyway, Philippians chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. And it reads like this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The thing that I realized is that if we want to have the right influence, we have to have a proper focus. And I shared this the other Sunday, and I'm just curious if anybody remembers what we're supposed to focus on. I'm a little bit of a Nixie teacher. I like to kind of keep you stepping a little bit. What's the first word that you can think of that you have to focus on? I'll give you a hint. Hebrews said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to focus on our faith, on our trust, and our belief in God. All right. What is one of the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? And in regards to the wise man built his house upon the rock, what was that supposed to emphasize? It emphasized what? Right. Now, we focus on being obedient to God. This is faith in God, to God. Now, what else should we focus on? See. We say God is what? Come on. Do you know what this is? Am I right? That's spelled right. I'm not a good speller. I'm being very blunt with you. But we need to focus on love. We need to focus on our charity. We have to have God in us if we want to be able to be a right influence. All right. Anybody remember what you was? I'm stretching your mind, I know, but I was hesitant to share it, but I thought, well, I'm going to bring it out sometime. And it's good I am, because they say repetition is good for you. Anyway, we need to focus on unity. We need to focus on being one in Christ and one with each other if we want to be a right influence on others. And last but not least, it would be we need to surrender. We need to focus on our surrender of ourselves to God. So, questions I don't want to raise of hands, but I want you to think about it. These questions are, am I a true light? Am I a salt for God? This portion that I read here in regards was basically the mind, heart, and spirit of Christ is in that scripture that I read. Do we have that? Are we experiencing, are we living out Christ in us? Am I reflecting God's kingdom with the relationship that we have with God? Because if we have that, then our influence is going to be just as important as mothers that love God. Because the Bible says, she that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And we are here to give glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we pray that you might bless your word. We ask you might help each one of us to realize the importance of being a proper and right influence. We ask you might help us to put on Christ. Help us to realize the importance of our lives as a whole, who we touch, who we relate to, because we are influencing everyone we meet, for good or for bad. And Father, our heart is that we want to be like Christ so that the world can see you more clearly and that more souls can be brought into your kingdom. We again pray that you might bless us all, help us to realize that all that we have is yours. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing a song that I asked Art to lead. Thank you, Art.
I understand that's number 442. The Christian.